Hello, and welcome to your five for today. Many people think that Christianity is full of do's and don'ts, rules and regulations. More about that later. The reality is that life is full of rules. Take sport as an example. For any foul play, there are consequences. There's the yellow card and sin bin in rugby, or the red card for game over. The ref has a very important part to play too, pardon the pun. When shopping, the rule is that you should queue before paying. That's right, you've got to pay. If you don't, there are consequences. The ref this time is security and the store manager. Then there's driving on the roads. A 30 mile per hour area is just that. For speeding, can you guess what comes next? Yes. There are consequences, and the ref this time will be a PC. At work, there are health and safety rules which need to be followed. If not, you get the picture. I'm sure that you can think of other scenarios where rules need to be followed. Just one final example before moving on. As a school teacher, I only ever give two rules for any school trip. Number two is enjoy. Number one is listen. You can't do number two without first doing number one. As Alexander Orlov, the meerkat on TV, says, simples. Let's go back to the idea that Christianity is full of rules. In the Old Testament, the Ten Commandments were given to Moses on Mount Sinai. I wonder how many you could recite. I wonder how many you have kept. Or how many have you broken? What rules would you include for a Christianity code? The Pharisees, a religious group in Israel, followed 613 laws to help them keep God's original 10. In the New Testament, Jesus was asked about the Great Commandment, and his response was, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." This is the first and great commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbour as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Simples, right? Can I quote myself here? You can't do number two without first doing number one. Simples or not? If you love God, loving your neighbour will be dim problem, as we say in Welsh. That's no problem if you're not a Welsh speaker. So, if you've listened to me before, you should know that I like posing questions. It's a good way to get us thinking. The command to love God includes all of our heart, soul, and mind. That's 100% for 100% of the time. It's a tall ask, but love demands it. Who or what do you love? If you support a particular sports team, you'll take the time to watch them live or on the TV. If you love food and cooking, the kitchen is where you'll spend a lot of time when at home. You may cook for others and enjoy every minute. Then there are people. I'm sure that you love your family and love spending time together. It's not a problem, and there's no better way of spending time. What of your love for God then? How much time do you give Him, and do you enjoy the assurance of His company in your life? This should be our number one priority. The second commandment is to do with our neighbour. That's not Mrs. Jones next door or Mr. Evans down the road. The story of the Good Samaritan tells us that our neighbour is anybody that comes across our path, which, sometimes, might be a perceived enemy. Love is love. It is not prejudiced, and it means equal rights for all. God is no respecter of persons and shows no favouritism. The Bible describes God in many ways. One of the simplest descriptions is from John, who says, "God is love." The Beatles sang, "All you need is love. Love is all you need." That's exactly right. Can I therefore encourage you today to show your love for God by loving your neighbour? After all, it is more blessed to give than to receive. These are words of Jesus recorded by Luke in the book of Acts in the New Testament. Before bed this evening, you could reflect on your day by answering the question posed by Heather Small. What have you done today to make you feel proud? I trust it will involve love. Thanks for listening.